disorderly behavior in the court. Justice is blind, deaf, and dumb, and walks with a limp. "So, my peers, your most excellent selves," Dothy droned on, directing his outrageous flattery to the wizards sitting up in the gallery, "I would like to bring before you my objections. The old wizard who dares to accuse me is deluded with his own self-importance. Yes, I do come from far away, but there's no reason to be distrustful of my magic. Tell me now, will you release me, or continue with this sham of a trial, when it's clear that I am innocent of—" Capro could only shake his head in disbelief at the sheer gall of it all. And while he could swear that Dothy had been using no magic, he was sure that something or someone had. He could feel the court being swayed by what, at best, could only be described as prattle. There was nothing else for it. He'd have to call on Dalberth as a witness. If there was one man who could convince this jury of Dothy's guilt, then it was Dalberth. The traces of the magic Dothy had used would still be evident, and the man should have no problem recognizing Dothy as the perpetrator. Reluctantly, he stood.
"My lord, Piers, I have a witness."
"Well then, bring him forth."
"He's in Scotch Mist."
"I object," the first wizard shouted. "This is time-wasting. If there was a witness, why was he not brought to my attention earlier?"
"And who exactly would this witness be?" the judge asked. "One Dalberth, previously a foot soldier of Scotch Mist. The man was subject to minor possession."
"Huh? Possession of what?"
his companion whispered in his ear.
"Oh." The judge shuffled papers. "Dothy summoned a demon to possess said Dalberth. I'm sure the victim will testify."
Up among the peers, angry cries against Dothy were drowned out by outrage that Mr. Goodfellow Sr. had hidden a prophet.
"Why has this been hidden?"
"The old goat Capro thinks he's above us all.
Hiding a conduit to prophecy is a crime."
Mr. Goodfellow Sr. could not help but reflect that the accusations against him were not unfounded. But while Dalberth had been recovering, he hadn't needed a whole lot of wizards hanging on his every word. Besides, the university had everything they needed.
"I think you'll find that's an oversight on your part. Dalberth has a scribe, and his prophecies are filed in the prophets section of the library just as they should be."
Dothy licked his lips. Even Toots looked wary, the creature cocking its head sideways to take a better look at Mr. Goodfellow Sr. before Dothy spoke.
"First wizard, it's clear Mr. Goodfellow is clutching at straws. This completely new and very serious charge is simply not true."
"Of course it's true," Mr. Goodfellow Sr. snapped. "Although the charge is nothing compared to what Dothy tried to do at Altergrain."
Capro winced. The word was so tricky it was almost unpronounceable.
"Alganathriel, the place of exile,"
the judge murmured.
"Surely you mean Atalganathriel?" "No, that's the corrupted version. Mine is correct."
The judge humphed, as if mere pronunciation was beneath him, not a credible stance for a wizard.
"This is a separate charge of corporeal possession. We can set a new date. In the meantime, your disruption of the proceedings is noted, as is the charge of hiding a prophet. The council is adjourned. Wizard Dothy, you may consider yourself confined to the university building."
"What?"
Capro spluttered.
"What? I haven't finished."
He looked over to Potsy. Surely, if there was one wizard in this building whom he could trust to stand up against danger, it was old Potsy. But Potsy made a run for the door. He was long gone by the time it slammed closed behind him.
"Does he know what's at stake, or is he just running away?"